Here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. We're about to get you set for tonight's East-West Shrine Game. It takes place this evening at AT&T Stadium with some of the finest draft prospects and college football stars in the land. Big part of the offseason process, getting to this, getting to your Senior Bowl. And Eric Galco is the director of football ops and personnel for the Shrine Bowl. He's going to join you here in just a minute on your home of the Cowboys. General at your service, there's Brian Broaddus, of course. Lucius Alexander is in the Pimp Cup as we near the halfway point, going all the way till 7 o'clock. Of course, Woolchuck and Chia Follower in the house. Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. And we have David Hellman, NFL on Fox, joining us coming up at 6 o'clock and get his thoughts on where the Cowboys have been and where they're going. I can't wait for free agency. You know, my mind's on free agency and what their approach might look like, considering they're going to be able to free up cap space. They have the Micah Parsons thing. But if you want to, you know, be competitive next year, certainly you can't put all your eggs in a draft basket. I would hope not anyway. But that might be where things are heading. Okay, so joining us now, Eric Galco, Director of Football Ops, Player Personnel for the Shrine Bowl here on your home of the Cowboys. And a good afternoon, Eric. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great, guys. We have game time here in a little under 3 hours.
Yeah, what are the fans in there in for tonight with this game? Can you give us the pitch?
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting time. It's going to be players from all over the country, from guys like Kyle McCord at Syracuse and members of the Colorado team under Deion Sanders to small school players all playing together on Thursday Night Football on NFL Network, and a chance for these players to impress NFL teams and finish off their career. You know, just a couple of short years ago, quarterback like Brock Purdy played in the Shrine Bowl, or Isaiah Pacheco, and made a name for themselves and end up having great NFL careers. So excited to have fans in the stadium as well as people on TV on NFL Network at 7 p.m. Central Time get a chance to really enjoy this.
Hey, Erica, congratulations on really doing a fine job with your roster. Really enjoyed the coverage and following along. And it was Zach and those guys as well, and Vach Lombardi, guys I've worked with. But I was going to ask you, though, was there something of a surprise player that off the roster that you kind of said, man, maybe he was the last guy you added, but he kind of had that type of exposure to the scouts and stuff that you're like, you're pretty proud about him and what he's been able to do?
Yeah, well, hey, all these guys are tied for first in my mind. Sure. They're all my kids this week at the Shrine Bowl. But I think a couple of guys went from, you know, guys that were going to be draft picks, maybe mid-round picks of Rosen to day two of the draft or even any earlier. Jordan Phillips at University of Maryland at D-tackle, yeah. Who's incredibly impressive on and off the field. They had a great week of practice. Chris Paul at Ole Miss, a linebacker, had a great week of practice. He might nudge his way to the top 40, 50 picks. And then a receiver like Efton Chisholm, who was one of the guys that we added close to the event. Slot right. Receiver from Eastern Washington will remind NFL scouts a little bit of Cooper Kupp, but had a fantastic week of practice all week long. So I think no doubt those are three guys that jump out to me as far as being great players all week long.
Eric, what do you think about these quarterbacks, man? I was pretty impressed with Kyle McCord out of Syracuse. We were fortunate enough to have him mic'd up at parts during the Lights Out Sports TV broadcast of the practice. It seemed like these quarterbacks were weirdly with the accuracy. I was impressed with the group you put together.
Yeah, it's a great group, and it's a mix of guys like Kyle McCord, who might be an early-round draft pick, guys like Max Brosmer from Minnesota, might be a mid-round draft pick, and then a lot of guys hoping to fight for a chance in that Brock Purdy territory. But I think we've got six guys on our quarterback roster, along with Shedeur Sanders, who was there throughout the week of practice on the sidelines. Really a chance for the NFL teams to see these guys as, hey, if they're starters or long-term backups or guys that can challenge in the NFL camp. Like I said, we've seen guys like Brock Purdy and Aiden O'Connell and Dorian Thompson-Robinson get drafted on day three from the Shrine Bowl the last couple of years and have great NFL careers so far. So I think we'll know, you know, I think Kyle McCord and Max Frost might be the guys NFL teams are most intrigued to watch, but anything can happen on game night here for the Shrine Bowl.
Talk about it being the 100 years and where this game's been, what it's meant for the football community over the last century.
Yeah, incredible. I mean, 1925 was the first year of this game. It's the second oldest bowl game of all time, only behind the Rose Bowl. And I think it's a testament to how this event has been so special, not just to the players and the NFL ecosystem and college football, but also to Shriners Children's and all the great work the Shriners Hospital does year-round internationally for people and patients, regardless of ability to pay. I think it's always really impressive these players kind of see that. You know, last night we had our media day, which is our banquet, which our players get a chance to kind of hang out with our patients and see what they go through and really get to know them a lot too. And these players, after a long week of practice on the field and interviewing with NFL teams to see kind of what they're playing for and how the Patriots really benefit from their presence and their name, image, and likeness, I think is always really impressive for these guys to see. And the fact that I'm a small part of this over the last 100 years is pretty special.
How much do you think the eyeball and attention was with the prime factor of all of this? Having Shador, having Shiloh, of course, Deion was there at practice. Did you notice any more eyeballs on the Shrine Bowl due to that?
Yeah, for sure. Guys like Deion Sanders always bring eyeballs, and certainly guys like Shador Sanders, who maybe is or will be one of the first, if not the first overall pick in this year's draft. That's earned a lot of attention, too, and that's a good thing. A lot of NFL scouts are going to be there and NFL personnel are going to be there regardless because of our talent. But, you know, that's one of the benefits and something that's really special about Shador Sanders and even his father, Coach Prime, is the fact that they know that their presence creates opportunities for others. And the chance for sure during media sessions to talk about Shiloh and LaJonte Wester, Will Shepard, Jimmy Horn, Cameron Tillman, Craig, all the guys in Colorado that were there, about what kind of players they were, really shows his leadership and his ability to kind of use his gravitas as a player on and off the field and help his teammates as well as, you know, be a part of the Shrine Bowl and our teammates. And he was, you know, Shador was on the sideline, but he was after practice retweeting, quote tweeting guys like Marcus Weir from Montana State and how well they play too. So I think he knows that he has a chance to really promote these players, and especially because of his presence. And I'm very thankful that, you know, Coach Prime and Shador and all these guys trusted the Shrine Bowl to be their all-star game of choice this year.
Hey, Eric, I could go all the way back to the Shrine Bowl when it was in the early 90s. We was in Palo Alto, California, one of the first ones I ever went to. And it's still one of my favorite bowl games, all-star games to get to cover. But the relationship that you have, you know, in this area to take the game, it's bounced around a little bit. But what does it mean to have it here in Dallas, Texas, in Arlington and Denton? You know, you had really kind of the whole Metroplex involved in this thing.
Yeah, really special. And it's being our 100th year, having a great facility and a great stadium really mattered to us, especially a way to highlight, you know, the 100 years of history and kick off another 100 years of the East-West Shrine Bowl. And no better place than AT&T Stadium. And I appreciate the Jones family for having us here and being great hosts for us. And not only for us, but all the NFL clubs all week long, for sure. But no doubt having a 100th year celebration in Arlington and at AT&T Stadium is a great way to kind of end the 100 years and again kick off next 100 years for us too.
Eric Galco, Director of Football Ops, Player Personnel for the Shrine Bowl with us here on The Fan. How do you go about finding a guy like Thomas Perry out of Middlebury? D3, I always love those stories of some of these guys that come from smaller schools and they're able to come to these bowl games and now everybody's able to know them on a first name basis because they're able to go up against guys like Nazir Stackhouse out of Georgia.
Yeah, it was a great rep. And hey, Shannon Sharp was talking about on his show as well about how well Thomas Perry playing the Shrine Bowl. That was pretty awesome. But no, it's credit a couple of things. One, we work with NFL teams year-round to make sure we're working together as a team and hear what they want to hear. But, of course, we got a great scouting staff as well. And from scouting the Nazir Stackhouses, the Warren Brinsons of the world at Georgia, down to Thomas Perry's at Middlebury, our staff does a great job evaluating these players and realizing and doing a great job on the front end. You know, one aspect I think is really intriguing for our staff is, you know, we have the pressure to kind of be before NFL teams on a lot of these players, right? And we're kind of setting the table for NFL teams. And, you know, not every scout had been through Middlebury when we invited Thomas Perry. So they were relying on us to kind of weed out players and do that scouting on the forefront. And it's a testament to our scouting staff. It's a great job all year long, scouting players at every level to know, hey, this guy's going to be worthwhile for NFL teams to see. And I think Thomas Perry went from a very intriguing D3 player who's done great work with Duke Manyweather and O-line masterminds to now being a legitimate draft pick and a question of how early in the draft he's going to go. So super happy for Thomas. He's got his coaches down here for the game and supporting him as well, too. But he's a great indictment of what these all-star games can matter for a player on the field.
What kind of a competition factor are we looking at tonight, Eric? We're used to all-star games where the players aren't really trying to win. What's going to be the case this evening?
Oh, no, these guys want to win. We've got our head coach, Marquise Williams, from Atlanta Falcons. He's coached in the Shrine Bowl 2 years ago. He won when he was the head coach here 2 years ago. And then Shane Bowen, current defensive coordinator for the New York Giants. He's got his team ready to go, too. So, obviously, it's in some ways an exhibition. These guys, you know, don't want to, you know, have anyone get hurt in the game. We haven't had an injury the last 4 years, knock on wood. But
absolutely,
I think it's important for these guys to know NFL team want to see these guys be competitive, and these guys want to win. And first, second quarter, you see a lot of good plays. But the third, fourth quarter, these coaches are calling timeouts, getting strategies, drawing up plays, and trying to win the game for sure. So it's going to be an exciting finish, I think, at AT&T Stadium tonight at 7 o'clock.
Enjoy, Eric. Congrats on the event and hitting 100 years, and we look forward to catching up with you talking football soon.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
There he goes. Senior Bowl tonight at AT&T, 7 o'clock. And it'll be, you know, really fun to see what Brian and Wolchuk and the draft community has to say about these players. But looking forward to enjoying the game tonight.
Yep, should be a lot of fun. It, like I say, go way back, like the old Blue-Gray game, the East-West Shrine game, the Hula Bowl. And these All-Star games mean a lot for these players. And you know, we were talking about a center from a small little school getting an opportunity to perform against on the big stage. And couldn't ask for anything better for that, for that kid and for the scouts to get to see him.
That's what
perform.
It's all about, man. Yep. I remember 2 years ago, it was like Quinn Miners, right?
Oh, well, Ali Marpet.
He
went to Hobart College.
Yep.
And Ali Marpet was a second-round pick with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Ali Marpet had a really nice career playing. I mean, he got banged up, got out of the game, but he was a starter for the Buccaneers from Hobart College in the NFL. And I just always remember watching the tape, and there was like a bounce house in the end zone.
Yeah.
Like, so you're watching the game, but your eyes are kind of focusing on the bounce house out there in the end zone. I've never seen the bounce house before out in the end zone.
That's awesome.
But they had one there at Hobart College.
Okay, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. What do you guys think of reported interest in Luka Doncic coming out of Miami? Okay. According to Miami Herald's Barry Jackson and Anthony Chang, source relayed to them the Heat have been avoiding taking on non-All-Star players whose contracts don't expire before the 25-26 season. So this is one of the added pieces of info that might be coming out of the Miami negotiations. They try to trade Jimmy Butler away. What's being reported is they're not trying to take on salary that goes beyond next season. They're poised right now to have $80 million in cap space, and they're looking at several All-Stars that we've talked about, including Luka Doncic, eligible to become a free agent that summer. And he would be eligible for a five-year, $346 million deal after making the All-NBA team last season. That's what the Mavs will be able to offer after next season. Other teams would be able to offer 4 years and roughly $250 million. So one less year and like $95 or $100 million less. I think Miami is one of those teams that when they're lining up, there's a certain appeal to that. And Pat Riley's really, really good at team building. Like if I was Luka and we had won a championship then, I would probably be thinking going to Miami is a great opportunity to take that next step in my career. Plus, I get to be in Miami, you know, and it just seems so in line with his European playboy sort of personality.
Yeah, his buddy Goran, the Dragon Dragic, was there for a while and I would imagine would be saying nice things. But you're leaving a lot of money on the table. How hungry are you for a championship, really? How far away do you think you are with the Mavs to leave that level of dollars on the table to go to a place where they're also, I mean, it's also known that the Heat are, like, with the culture stuff that they have, Spoelstra's not messing around.
More no-nonsense.
Yeah, super no-nonsense. Talk about, like, body fat percentage and stuff. Like, you're not going to get away with the same stuff. And so, at that point, maybe he's so hungry for a title that he's interested in that.
Yeah.
Or that's like, I'm going to leave $100 million on the table or whatever so that I can...
Yeah, and from what I've heard from his sort of way of going about things here with the Mavs, he wants an organization that's going to cater to his comforts and what he wants.
Right.
You know, not dictate this is our way and this is how we're going to get to a championship, which might have contributed to LeBron James leaving there. You know, you have to acknowledge as well, at least at this point, the Mavs roster is significantly better built out with complementary players. You know, I know in Miami there's Bam Adebayo, there's some other nice young players,
Hero.
But the combination of wings that can play defense and create, and then the two bigs with Lively and Gafford, I would have to give, you know, at least at this point, the tip of the cap to...
They do have Khalil Ware, who is a rookie big man, who's a floor stretcher, who's really, like, he's the favorite to be rookie of the year right now with the way that he's been playing, so maybe over the course of the next couple of years, he becomes a guy but that's stretching it quite a bit.
Yeah. And there's no reports that Luka wants to leave. I mean, in 2024, remember the Tim McMahon report that maybe Luka could want to leave if they don't start winning, but then they went on a run to the finals. That was like before their post-All-Star break.
Things would have to be so bleak. And Nico is not the type of guy to let this roster just get terrible.
No.
Like, he's clearly super proactive. He understands the mission. And I feel like Luka is going to feel like, even if they hadn't won one yet, he's consistently being put in position to succeed.
That was a fun conversation with the Shrine Bowl guys, though. I used to work at this major hotel chain. I think it was my third job. and I'd set up banquets, and then I worked my way up to serving at these banquets, which was a disaster. It was much better just to set them up and then go goof around for a couple of hours while the old people got drunk and danced and stuff. But we would do these Shriners events. I don't know if it's the same deal, but these guys knew how to have a good time with their burgundy jackets and their hats with the tassel.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'd be throwing tens and tens of thousands of dollars around for auctions to help kids and stuff like that.
Sure.
So
that's awesome.
I always think of those guys having a fun time. I hope they do the same tonight. Okay, top 10 at 420 coming up next. Well, Chuck, where are you taking us?
Oh, my gosh. It's Brian Broaddus' favorite day, National Croissant Day.
Oh.
It's croissants. I know you love a croissant. Best breads. What are your favorite types of breads on National Croissant Day? Is croissant in your top 10? That's next.